Okay, what's up? We got Alex in the house. You want to scoot over?
Yeah, for sure. Hey, Jack. Hey, thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, so this week was insane.
I know, it was so crazy.
Okay, so were you on Wall Street Bets before this happened?
No, I didn't know even Wall Street Bets. Like, I'm just so much in, like, the crypto DeFi bubble. Like, we exited the system a long time ago. Like, we already knew. Like, for us, like, Robin Hood is, we know that they own the money. So it's like, I didn't want to, like, go on Wall Street Bets or Reddit. And I guess I knew it existed, but like it just blew up out of nowhere.
Yeah. So Reddit's like a lagging indicator for you.
Yeah, I feel like, yeah, like people in crypto, they're just like, oh my God, like they still don't know. Yeah. Like it's like the best time for us.
Yeah. Okay, so for context, today is Saturday. I'm going to try to post this on Sunday. But for context, let's go back and recap what happened this week. This week or a while ago, Michael Burry, he noticed that real estate was significantly underpriced and it was overshorted. So it was shorted by like 140%. And then he placed a trade and some Reddit user named Deep Fucking Value, he started posting about this and he would post monthly updates. He was like, okay, I'm buying GameStop. Based on their real estate prices, they are significantly underpriced and they are overshorted. Whether this like amount of shorting was illegal or not, it was like over 100% of the stock was shorted.
Wow.
This is insane. So it eventually led to the short squeeze, as we all know. And that's when like all hell broke loose earlier this week. And so then I was like, okay, I got to get like a DeFi expert on the podcast because the system's kind of broken. And the system was broken because when the short squeeze happened, Robinhood stopped allowing trading of GameStop, Nokia, AMC, and all these shares. And that would never happen on like a crypto exchange,
never.
Right?
Never.
So, and regardless of like if that was because if Robinhood stopped allowing trading because like maybe the billionaires were collaborating behind their backs, which seems to be discredited, and it seems to be that it was like this settling thing where they had to put up extra cash over 2 days. Regardless, like this just would not happen in a DeFi system. And so clearly now Reddit, everybody on the internet, everyone on Twitter is talking about like, okay, it's time to go DeFi. So I'm like, I'm a chemical engineer and I post videos mainly about hard tech startups. I am not a crypto guy. So I was like, okay, who's the crypto guy that I need to talk to?
Me!
Alex. Alex is, you have like, you did an ICO. You don't like calling it an ICO, but it was an
IPO.
IPO of yourself.
Yeah.
You IPO'd yourself on crypto. Like you've made a coin of yourself.
Yeah.
You've been, I guess, like developing on the blockchain for a long time, or how exactly would you describe your experience? And you also have a startup in blockchain. So.
For sure. Yeah. How would I describe myself? So I'm not a developer, but like I build products and like blockchain is a lot of open source code. Mm-hmm. So it's code that I can reuse for innovative use cases. And so I'm doing that a lot. Like I have a company, I have a CTO, so I'm not the one coding per se, but I guess I'm good at marketing and products. And I don't know, like sales and all of those like non-technical things. But of course, I am so in love with crypto. I read crypto 3 hours a day. Like I cannot stop reading. It's like so amazing once you discover like this new system that is rebuilt from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, like I'm super excited. I can dive into any topics. Like, yeah, I've dived into DeFi or digital items and anything. Yeah.
For sure. So when I was like kind of preparing for this, I was listening to a podcast and it was Bankless and Chris Dixon. And what Chris Dixon was saying is that like Bitcoin's kind of the center circle of the crypto. And then on top of that is kind of like the Ethereum or outside of that.
Yeah.
And then outside of that is like NFTs and these tokens that are being built. Is that kind of like accurate? And where do you prefer Bitcoin? Are you a Bitcoin maximalist or ETH, or how do you go for this?
Right. So I think Bitcoin is awesome. Bitcoin has great branding and it's really cool, but there's not much things you can do with Bitcoin. Bitcoin is basically better gold, right? And so gold is fine and Bitcoin is fine. There's like a certain amount and the price is very volatile because like it's basically pure speculation.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone is trying to make Bitcoin the future gold where it will be a very expensive price and it will be not too volatile and it will be a great store value. That is the goal of Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. But the problem is Bitcoin was created in 2011. And blockchain was just getting started.
Mm-hmm.
And there are so much more things you can do than this kind of store of value. And so Ethereum is a bunch of hackers and developers that, you know, started to say, well, what if we build a new programming language there where like you can code your own Bitcoin, where you can code like a US dollar version or a stock of GME or a bending, like a lending market or borrowing market, or even like a betting market, like a prediction market.
Mm-hmm.
Or like an insurance company or something where you can buy art or buy real estate or a domain name, like it's just infinite. So like if Bitcoin is email, I feel like Ethereum is the new internet of finance and of value, and the possibilities are endless, and it's only been 5 years, and I feel like the next 50 years are going to revolutionize the internet and how we interact with value.
So you can essentially, on Ethereum, on the Ethereum chain, you can essentially make apps. And that's a huge thing. So with Bitcoin, you can't make apps, but Ethereum, you can make all these apps, and that's where you get the synthetic stocks. So can you, like, because everybody's talking about GameStop, all these, the Wall Street, how do you make a synthetic stock on Ethereum? Like, who is doing that?
For sure. So there are companies like Synthetix, which is a protocol that is really fastly growing, that does synthetic stocks. And so what they do is that they create their own version of the US dollar that is called SUSD, Synthetix USD. And so they incentivize people by giving some tokens, like to just have people like put some collateral like Ethereum or like CUSDC or like some money that represents the US dollar. And so that way you've got this initial currency. And from that currency, you can create complex markets where you can say, okay, like we will follow the price of gold or the price of the euro or the price of a stock like GME or Apple or Tesla. Mm-hmm. And that way, people in crypto with an internet connection, but no identity or no connection to any bank account or identity, can just straight up buy things. And this is the future we want to build, where anyone with an internet connection can be allowed to spend and use their money as they want.
Mm-hmm. So how are these synthetic stocks like linked to GME? Like how does it know when it goes up and how does it follow that? How do we know that it will actually like track that?
For sure. So there is something called an oracle that... It's called an oracle, yeah. Oracle.
Oracle. Okay.
Yeah, an oracle, which is O-R-A, sorry. Yeah. And so basically like the blockchain is not really connected to the internet. Like it does some logic. The code says, okay, like this money belongs to that person. This money belongs to that person. Only that person can unlock that amount of money. But the blockchain doesn't really know the outside world. They cannot know that, you know, the stock is going up or down. And so there's something called Oracle, which is a company, like the major company doing oracles is called Chainlink, Link. And it's funny because Link is like a huge meme in the crypto space with like Pepe the Frog. Okay. And like the stock has just gone bonkers. I mean, not the stock, it's
Link
a token.
Meme Link. Okay.
Yeah.
The meme Link has gone bonkers.
The meme Link has gone bonkers. Because if you know crypto, you know how important oracles are to determine the real price of stocks, for instance, or any outside data, like the price of the US dollar, for instance, is really important because we need to report it, and we need to report it against ETH, against Bitcoin, against all sort of value.
So Link essentially brings outside data, so like stock exchange data, into the ETH network.
Yes.
So
it's like
a bridge kind of thing.
Exactly. So to answer your question about synthetics, the code has to check at all time what is the price of GME, what is the price of Tesla. And so Chainlink is the provider of that oracle that will curate the data from NASDAQ or from whatever stock exchange. Mm-hmm. And so that way we can have clear data and we can create a protocol that tracks the value of the stock without having the actual stock.
Okay, so, but you don't have the actual stock.
You don't have the actual stock.
So then how can you, like, if you're investing in GME, how can you justify, like, you don't actually own equity in that company? So how can we get people to, why are people incentivized to start using DeFi? Because this is DeFi. Why are people incentivized to do that if you don't actually own the equity in the company? Like, how do you, I guess this is like where my knowledge kind of fails is like, can companies IPO onto DeFi and then like have their actual equity linked there? Or will it always be synthetic and like track from the NASDAQ? Because I think the point of this is like we want to get away from the NASDAQ and go completely DeFi. So like kind of like
We all want to stop IPOs because every time you IPO, you give dozens of billions of dollars to the bankers. And the bankers, they're just here to buy the stock, to convince you that it's underpriced, and then to have a fair pop the first day. Mm-hmm. But it's not really cool because the money doesn't go to the people. Mm-hmm. And sometimes some of the companies going out and IPOing, like DoorDash or Uber or Airbnb, they went there because of the people. Mm-hmm. And so it would be awesome if there was a system to reward those people. And this is what crypto enables. So to answer your question about like, how to make stocks into crypto? Well, it's a really hard process because it's from the legacy system, right? Mm-hmm. The banking infrastructure that was built by your grandparents that really does not belong to us. This is why Robinhood stopped trading. It's because there are a lot of intermediaries that can just cut at any time if they think, oh, this is bonkers, we don't want to go for that. And so the users, they don't really own their stocks. So Synthetix is one intermediary form till we're not there. So it's like the transitional path. It's like not the full vision. Then there are companies like Ferment or Offpist, which tries to convince...
What's the name
Offpist?
Of it? Offpist?
Yeah.
Offpist.
Yeah.
Okay, nice.
Which is like off track in French.
Okay, nice.
Or like Ferment, which is a company that tries to go to startups and say, hey, if you do a token, you can maybe incentivize your users. You can give some users equity. Like, what if you're a Uber driver, why don't you deserve equity? Like, you participate into the network. You should be incentivized not just by money, but also by the Uber stock.
Totally.
And so with crypto and token and DeFi, you can do that. And so I'm super excited about this.
So an Uber driver, if like Uber was listed on these synthetic stock exchange, if they had actual equity in there, then they could, every time a ride was completed, give like a one millionth like of equity.
Yeah, but the best scenario would be for Uber to directly have a token and the underlying token.
Mm-hmm.
Synthetix is just like a hacker way to get the stock, you know, because like they haven't done so. So it's like a pirate way
so
to do it.
Just like, say like Square just put Bitcoin on their balance sheet.
Yeah.
Can like Uber put synthetic Uber on their balance sheet and then it's like tied to their equity?
That would be a funny idea.
I don't know.
Yeah.
The funny idea, so bad idea,
could,
I don't know.
Yeah, they could burn their tokens. Like they could burn their stocks, saying, hey, we're like burning a billion stocks and we were going to buy like a billion synthetic stocks. But then it's already synthetic. So, like it's actually underlying.
And that's better though.
That's the vision
that's
that
we want.
Yeah, we want that.
But we're halted from doing that by the legal system.
Yeah, the legal system is really hard. And also, like, there's also a lot of technical debt, right? Like, you need to go from the NASDAQ system. There's probably tons of regulators, like the SEC. This is a security that is publicly tradable. And so transferring that and, like, missing on all the taxes from the bankers, from the regulators. Like, in crypto, it's the Wild West.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone with internet connection can just go and buy stocks. And so I don't think the regulatory environment is ready for that just yet, but it's getting better.
So what is, like, making it better? Like what should we be watching in maybe like legal parts of the SEC or the NASDAQ? Like what should we be watching? Like how do we know that it's getting better? And then yeah, what are the leading indicators of this?
I think some leading indicators is crypto startups doing it themselves and showing the way. So Compound, which is a lending and borrowing market on Ethereum, they started releasing their token after like 3 years or 4 years, and it was a massive success. People borrow and lend Ethereum or Bitcoin or DAI, which is like a version of the US dollar. And so it was super successful. And they were like, well, we are a startup funded by top funds like Andreessen Horowitz and others.
Mm-hmm.
But like, you know, Compound should belong to everyone. It should be a public good. People should own the protocol. And if they want to have equity in it, they should. And so they released their token called Comp. And they said, if you put liquidity and money in there, we would give you comp because you participate in the network and you deserve to get some value.
Mm-hmm.
And so from there, it worked. And now Compound is worth probably like $3 billion. And on the other side, Uniswap did the same thing. It was like a very successful exchange where you can exchange any asset on the Ethereum ecosystem. And same, they released the Uni token and they gave the Uni token to the people. They said, hey, you were the first users. They did a retroactive airdrop. So they said to the first users, here is a gift from you. You genuinely used our protocol. Like at the start, you didn't do it for the speculation. You didn't do it for the money. So this is yours. And so those two companies, they gave more than half away.
Wow.
Which means that they are decentralized now and it doesn't belong to them.
Wow.
And so for the regulators, I know it sounds crazy.
That's insane.
It's like if Facebook did an IPO and they gave like 60% of their stock to the public.
That's like
the
if
users.
Uber gave half their stock to their drivers.
Yeah.
That's like
I know, it's insane.
So that $3 billion, going back to the comp, when you said that it was like $3 billion USD or dollars, did you mean USD or is that... value in like Ethereum or...
It's the market cap. So it means like if you calculate the price of Comp today with the total supply, it's like $3 billion.
Of USD?
Of USD.
But that's owned in...
That's in Comp, yeah.
It's that's owned in Comp. And then that can be transferred into Ethereum and Bitcoin.
That can be transferred from anywhere because into of any... exchanges on Ethereum. You can change it to any currency that you want.
So can you... But you can't buy that in like Coinbase.
You can buy Comp in Coinbase because... Okay. Well, Coinbase knows that Compound is a legit project and they are very strict with the tokens because they want to protect buyers. Mm-hmm. But I'm pretty sure we can check that, but I'm pretty sure Comp is in Coinbase.
So then if I wanted to buy something that like Coinbase didn't list, but like a company was listing themselves, like what app would I use? Like I was going to ask, like, is it Uniswap?
Yes,
it is Uniswap.
It is Uniswap. So on Uniswap, you can trade and you can list everything.
So is this an app like on the Apple App Store?
It's not on the App Store. Okay. It's a website because it's DeFi. Okay. And Apple is kind of weird with crypto because they themselves are scared of regulators.
Okay.
And not allowing this is safer for them.
Okay. And so you go to like Uniswap.com?
Yeah, Uniswap.com. I think it's called Uniswap.io or Uniswap.app or something. But okay. The website Uniswap and the logo is like the unicorn. I think it's really awesome. It's like the internet stock exchange. Okay. I listed Alex on Uniswap without anyone's permission.
Yeah.
And now it's trading... And Uniswap and the team and I, like, we like each other. So, like, I'm even listed on their interface.
That's
but
awesome.
But even if I'm not on the interface, anyone can list on Uniswap. And if you have the name of the tokens, you can search it by the address
okay.
on Ethereum, and you will find it on Uniswap.
So when you IPO'd yourself, what you did was you, like, linked this coin to your value. So is that the value of like your bank account? Like, is somebody, what are people investing in? Like, and how do they know that it goes up and down?
Yeah. So right now, I would say like Alex is a bit like a meme.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's a bit like Dogecoin and others. Like, it's just to have some services that I provide. Like, for instance, if you have some tokens, you can unlock my newsletter. Okay. If you have 5,000 Alex, you can unlock my newsletter. If you have also 5,000 Alex, you can also unlock my Telegram group chat, where you can directly chat with me and all the other Alex holders.
Nice.
And it's so funny because if you buy Alex, that means you like me. Mm-hmm. And so in that group, I have no haters, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So like on Twitter, I have some haters about what I did in the crypto space.
Okay.
But like in the Alex group chat, everyone is really kind.
You're not innovative if you don't have haters, right? So that's totally
exactly.
fine.
Exactly, so that's perfect. But now I'm cutting them down. And so what's funny actually is that if you sell your Alex tokens, there's going to be a bot that kicks you out of the group chat.
Oh, nice. So that's like crypto Patreon.
It's kind of like the future of Patreon is the future of musicians, of entrepreneurs like me, because the reason why I did the Alex first is because I said, like, I'm going to sell like $20,000. I'm going to sell $20,000 worth of Alex tokens, and so I'm going to get $20,000.
So did you put $20,000 into, like, Ethereum, and then...
No, like I got $20,000. So, yeah, like, the start of the Alex token is not a meme. Mm-hmm. It was actually me saying, I'm going to give a tiny bit of my future income, 15%, for the next 3 years, against $20,000.
Oh, I see.
And so I made $20,000... But that was the very first step of the Alex token.
So then people buy that if they think you'll make more than 20,000.
Yes. But today, if you buy Alex on Uniswap, it's more like a meme. Mm-hmm. Because this is over. The sale was $20,000. It was very tiny. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted this to get started in life.
And that was more than 3 years ago.
That was not 3 years ago. That was like a year ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was
okay.
Really recently.
Okay.
And so I did this, and it was just to fulfill my dream as an entrepreneur to go to San Francisco because I had no safety nets.
Dude,
it was
that's awesome.
COVID just started, and like, I didn't have any money, and so this is why I did it. And so from that $20,000, then the Alex token started trading, but more like a meme. Because if you buy Alex today, you are not getting any income, right? There is no promise of income. It is not an investment. It's a bit like Dogecoin. And so usually when I do well...
It might have an investment like in 3 years, right? If there's 15% of income?
No, because the 15% of income is me privately giving it to the people who bought the $20,000 back
initially.
In the day.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Like right now, there's, I think, 500 people or 600 people who hold the Alex token. They are just buying the token on Uniswap. And it doesn't give them any entitlement, whatever.
Incentive.
Yeah, there's no, like, they're not entitled to, like, getting my income,
okay,
right? This
okay.
was just to 30 people, $20,000. Today, it's more like a meme, but, like, a meme is still useful. Like, you know, like, I just started my startup, and the Alex token went up. Because people are like, oh, well, maybe Alex will do something with that token in the future. We don't know, so, like, might as well buy it because this kid seems to be doing well.
Yeah.
So it is still moving according to my life, but there is no financial backing. It's more like a meme.
So... But then it becomes like, can you do it with financial backing? So if you, can you add financial backing, or would you have to re-IPO? And like, so then my next question there is like, if a startup didn't want to go to VCs or anything like that, could they like IPO on these, on Uniswap, and then say, you're going to be linked to our future revenues, and then this is essentially crowdfunding. And would this get past like Regulation CF? Like, would they even legally be allowed to do this? Yeah. So for everybody, Regulation CF is the regulation crowdfunding. Currently, you can only raise like $1 million, $1.6 million. Yeah. But in March, you can raise over up to $5 million from public investors. So could you raise more than $5 million on Uniswap? Or how would that work if you were to start looking to raise money doing this?
Yeah, so you're right. The vision is to have financial backing. Because if it's just a meme, the price is really random. What is the supply? There is no fundamentals that we use to assess a stock price. Mm-hmm. And so we really need a token price that is backed by something financial and concrete that analysts can evaluate and can say, okay, this is the price of this stock. This is the rational market price. And so we can have a saner environment and like stock, you know, mm-hmm. situation. And so this is actually what the protocols are doing. Mm-hmm. So Uniswap and Compound today, they're very young, and the founders, because they created the company and they have some funding, are not doing a fee just yet. Mm-hmm. But the Uniswap token and the Compound token, very soon, it's like a given, like it's a social implicit contract. They will have some fees.
Okay.
And so the fees will be used to pay the developers and the open source ecosystem, because just like anyone can buy a stock, anyone can contribute code to Compound. Anyone can help Compound be successful in marketing, sales, just like a startup that belongs to everybody, mm-hmm. like Wikipedia. But instead of just having people do that for free, they do that for a salary, mm-hmm. for the token. And so the token of those companies is like the equity. And so to your question, is this legal? Yes, it probably will be. We don't know just
but
yet.
But it's not yet. So a new startup couldn't actually IPO yet because it's not legal if they're like incorporated in Delaware.
So the way that they did Uniswap and Compound, because they are startups, they were incorporated as a company in the United States. And the way they did it is like when they released their token, they gave more than 50%, mm-hmm. as I said, mm-hmm. to the people. Mm-hmm. And so that way, when the regulators come, they're like, well, it doesn't belong entirely to us. Mm-hmm. We are not a third party, which would make us like a security, which is the thing you want to avoid. Mm-hmm. And so this is why they're giving more than 50% to the people, because they're like, well, it's decentralized. It doesn't belong to us. And the fee is actually the effort of everyone. We all participate in the network. And so thus, this should not be a security. This should not be regulated. Mm-hmm. And we don't know if it's legal yet, but one project worked.
Yeah.
And it's called Ethereum.
Okay.
And Ethereum did a private sale in the United States. And to this day, it's been 5 years now.
Ethereum's a company, like a legal company.
Ethereum was a foundation.
Okay.
So they was not supposed to make money, but they were allowed in the United States to do an ICO.
Okay.
And they were never sued in 5 years because regulators are good people. Mm-hmm. What they want is to protect the investors. But things like Ethereum, Compound, Uniswap are great projects by world-class teams, mm-hmm. and amazing engineers that really want to benefit society. Mm-hmm. And so it seems to me that it will be legal soon. Ethereum still has not been classified as a security. Actually, I think the CFTC chairman really loves Ethereum, and I think Ethereum is officially a commodity in the United States. Mm. And this is what we want for crypto. We want the crypto tokens to become commodities so that anyone can trade it easily.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So going back to like, if a startup wanted to list on Uniswap, they'd have to give up more than 50% of their equity, so that way they could get on that.
We don't know yet.
Okay,
I think
it's just not possible.
Like, there's this, like, a lot of lawyers are speculating on what is sufficiently decentralized. Like, at what point is it your company, and thus if the price goes down, it's your fault and this is illegal?
Okay.
And at what point does it belong to the people? The rough guess is probably 50%.
Okay.
I did my own startup, and I'm talking to my lawyers and my investors, and they were like, you know, you will give probably as of today 50% to the community, mm-hmm. which doubles my valuation as a startup, because like I have my startup with my valuation, but then like I will give a lot to the people. Mm-hmm. And it's such a great process because it's like a gift to the world that you're giving. Mm-hmm. And so I'm really passionate about this. Because if you were IPO'd in a crypto ecosystem, it would make all the drivers very rich. Mm-hmm. And all the drivers took a risk on Uber because at the time it was also just a risky startup. Mm-hmm. And so I think it would be fair to reward the people that participate in the gig economy.
For sure, for sure. What is your startup? What's Try Showtime?
Sure. So Showtime is a new kind of social network with that starts with digital art. So today, you can have digital art that you can buy and sell. It's not like content on Instagram or TikTok, mm-hmm. where it belongs to the company, but it actually belongs to you. And if an advertiser wants to have like a banner or like an ad, you get the money directly. Mm-hmm. And like, so you can post a video or a photo. Well, I mean, Showtime starts with art because that's the thing that works the best in blockchain today. But hopefully it will be any kind of content like Instagram or TikTok. Mm-hmm. And so in my platform, you can sell it to advertisers, or you can sell your content to your fans, or you can sell it to collectors who thinks that the value is going to go up. And so every piece of content is now a token. Mm-hmm. And it's really cool because if you're a content creator with loads of impressions and loads of views, probably advertisers would want to buy it from you. Mm-hmm. And by buying it, they will sponsor the post. And so this is what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to disrupt Facebook or, you know, Instagram by making every piece of content a token that belongs to you. Just like we talked about in DeFi, you own your money. I want that in Showtime, like, you own your reputation and you own your content.
Mm-hmm. So if I made like a YouTube video, for example, is it one token and then an advertiser would buy that like only token and then they just run an ad in front of it when it plays on YouTube, or how, well, where does it play?
So it's in our standalone platform because we cannot, you know, beyond YouTube and others, YouTube. Like it belongs to the other platforms. But on our platform, we can use the decentralized ecosystem to like get the pieces of content from anywhere and display it on our platform. Mm. And so, yeah, so Showtime is a platform to discover and showcase digital art. Mm. But soon enough, it will be any kind of content. And I'm really excited about this.
Okay. So like, they would buy one of those the only token.
There will be just one of every piece of content. You can have more if you want, but the goal, I think, is scarcity, and you want to just have one.
For sure.
Like when Kylie Jenner posts a content on Instagram, it's like just one picture. Mm-hmm. So it makes sense. And so then if you make it so that the owner can really like signal that they are here, that's like an advertisement.
Mm-hmm.
And advertisement is not bad per se. It's only bad when the platforms take all the money.
Mm-hmm.
But here in Showtime, it belongs to the people and we only take a small cut.
Mm-hmm.
And so that way the creators get all the money from advertisers that they deserve, that was just constrained and like taken hostage by the platforms for decades. Hmm. So we are fighting back against Facebook.
That's awesome. So the creators are definitely incentivized to use your platform. So what incentivizes users to use the platform?
So for users, well, they probably will go wherever the creators are going. Mm-hmm. So we believe that the creators, because they can make more money, will go there. But then I have tons of ideas, like perhaps creating a token like I did with Alex. Mm-hmm. What if we can have a creator stock market? And as you said, financial backing is important. And so what if you could do financial backing on top of your content sales?
Mm-hmm.
And then suddenly you can invest in anyone.
So if I like IPO'd myself, NASDAQ, then yeah. I would have a NASDAQ coin. People could buy that and then invest in me. And then maybe I could take like that extra money, make more content out of that, make more money.
Yes, exactly.
And like a company just investing in itself.
Exactly. A lot of content creators today, they need a lot of money to get started.
Yes.
Well, not that much money, but you know, maybe like $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 to buy some equipment and like to start taking 4 or 5 months of your life to dedicate your life to this.
It takes time.
It takes time and it's really hard. And I talk to lots of artists too and they're like the same. And when I talk to artists, they're like, well, you know, I succeeded very young in life and this allowed me. But if I missed that window, I would have missed out on my dream.
Mm-hmm.
And so with Showtime, perhaps in the future, anyone could trade a token like Alex and free themselves of having a bit of money up front and make magic work during the time where you can afford it and fulfill your dreams. So that's what I'm really excited about this.
That's awesome. That's really cool.
Yeah.
I'll definitely have to sign up for that.
Thank you.
Yeah, go check out the NASDAQ token. I'll link it in the description. So, but for now, like going back to the best thing that you can do right now is buy a synthetic version of the stocks.
Yeah, there's a protocol called Mirror where you can do that with Tesla and Apple, and it is a decentralized protocol. So like they don't have any guiltiness here, mm-hmm. right? Like it doesn't belong to them.
Okay.
But yeah, like as you said, that's the best you can do today with the stock market. But you can buy crypto tokens today and like they actually are the tokens, right?
For
it's
sure.
like the underlying token. But yeah, we are not in the full vision yet.
Okay.
This is why we need all the people from Wall Street Bets
yes.
to come on crypto and own their assets and like get rid of the clearing houses, get rid of Robinhood, and just start owning your own money.
Yes, for sure. So then what is DeFi versus SoFi? So Chamath is kind of promoting SoFi. I think this is something he invested in. I'm not exactly sure. So what is SoFi and how is it different?
So I think SoFi is a financial service in the United States to do loans, right?
Okay.
And so I'm not sure. Like, I don't know much about SoFi. Like, I'm more like a DeFi expert. Okay, but I would say, like, fine. SoFi is a normal company that does lending, I guess.
Okay. And is it kind of on blockchain, but it's just using USD? Like, so it's blockchain?
Yeah, I feel like... So I'm pretty sure that SoFi is custodial, meaning that they own your asset. Okay. And so it's the same root problem as Robinhood, okay. Right? Which is, if they disagree, they can seize your asset, they can sell your assets. And so it just can give a lot of customers angry. Okay. Versus in DeFi, the assets actually belong to you. Okay. And you can do whatever you want with it. And it's instant settlement time. Well, not instant, but like 15 seconds or like sometimes 1 minute on Ethereum. Mm-hmm. And it will be faster very soon. But yeah, like on Ethereum, there are things that are self-custodial, meaning that you actually own your money. And so in SoFi, maybe it's a trade-off because it's easier to use, mm-hmm. but we are going to catch up with Ethereum. And the trade-off for easier to use is that it's unfortunately not your assets that you have. It still belongs to SoFi.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So then now I'm just kind of like asking other questions like, what is sushi? Like I see sushi all around and like, what is this? Like, how does this work?
Right. So Uniswap, like, they started in 2017. And in 2017, this world internet stock exchange was fascinating. And it was not an ICO like the others. And a lot of ICOs were really scammy. And so at the time, everyone was afraid to do a token. Mm-hmm. And we didn't understand at the time that tokens was equity and they will govern the protocol by the people and it will give some money. And so actually, Uniswap took a very long time to create the token. And they took so long that before then, a team realized, well, what if we created a token and we copy-pasted Uniswap code? Because in crypto, code is open source and anyone can copy-paste it and copy-paste a smart contract. Mm-hmm. And so it's crazy because Uniswap is an amazing startup funded by some of the best investors in the world. Mm-hmm. And a team of hackers that are anonymous basically redeployed the same code, created a token and say, hey, we're going to give you the token, which is like a pure speculation and mm-hmm. we'll take trade on every fees and like you will get paid more. And they vampire attacked Uniswap.
Okay.
Vampire attack mean that they said, we're going to give you more tokens. If you leave Uniswap right mm-hmm. now, if you leave your assets that you have on the market and you bring over to us. Mm-hmm. And it worked super successfully.
Okay.
It was very scary to see because we saw that SushiSwap in like a week or two went beyond Uniswap in liquidity to sometimes I think $2 billion okay. of volume and liquidity. And it was really scary and insane. And so what Uniswap did is like, they know that they are the innovators. Like maybe SushiSwap can copy paste, mm-hmm.
But they can't write new code.
They can't write new code. Mm-hmm. And so they decided to first create a token. And the token is doing well and is bigger than SushiSwap, so it's really reassuring.
So it came back. So people went to Sushi.
They came back. They came back, but SushiSwap is still very strong, okay. which is crazy. But I think one thing that's going to be great is that SushiSwap is going to release a new version called Uniswap V3, the third version.
They're going to copy.
Uniswap is doing it.
Okay.
And then yes, it's expected that SushiSwap probably will copy Uniswap. But still, Uniswap has still this kind of advantage of being the first player and they have better reputation and brand image because of that. Like, I trust Uniswap more than I would trust SushiSwap because SushiSwap is just a bunch of anonymous hackers who made millions of dollars on top of people. And actually, the main dev ran away with the money, which was horrible to see. And then he felt really bad, and so he gave the money again.
I remember seeing that on Twitter.
It was so messy. Like, in crypto, everyone was so confused. Like, okay, is it a scammer? And then he came back with the money. It just seems like SushiSwap people did not expect to be that successful. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I just don't really trust them. Like, they are anonymous. I don't know who they are. They can run away with some money. And there was not really, like, mechanisms in place to protect them from running away. And so although I think competition is great and it's the open source system, it's the Wild West. Mm-hmm. If you can copy-paste and build a better product, that's good. But if you copy-paste and you bring no innovation to the table, I think that long-term you will lose.
So then when they copy and paste it, there's like stocks or companies listed on Uniswap, right? They didn't copy and paste that equity and like double it and then and like people didn't lose the value of the tokens that they owned on Uniswap.
No.
So that stayed the same. So that it wasn't anything like dangerous to the user.
No.
They, yeah, okay. Okay. So it was
not, I mean, the only danger here is that, yeah, you cannot copy-paste the money, for sure, right? That's the feature of crypto. But you can copy-paste the code, and you can incentivize people to switch to your platform. Mm-hmm. That's what is a vampire attack.
Yeah.
And so that's what they did. And by doing this, it was a little bit more siloed. Because, like, they took from Uniswap, and so that means that on Uniswap, it was less liquid to do a trade, so the fees was a bit higher. And on SushiSwap also, so they fragmented the space, mm-hmm. which is a little bit bad for the users. But to be honest, this is what this is crypto, this is expected. Wow, and after SushiSwap, there was a ton of protocols being copy-pasted.
Mm.
And so people have to find techniques now, teams have to find techniques to build a moat, where, like, what is something where even if someone copy-pastes you, it's really hard to copy. Hmm. And I guess the pace of innovation is really hard. This is what Elon Musk said. Mm-hmm. Elon Musk said, yeah, sure, you can copy-paste Tesla, but we are going so fast that you will never catch up to us.
When he open-sourced all the patents, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, that's what he did. And, like, I think the same applies to crypto. If you are very innovative and you continue to offer, like, to engineer solutions, like, the competitors, they can only copy-paste.
That's honestly, that's, like, a feature of the system in that keeps everybody on their toes. It keeps everybody innovating. Like, nobody's regulating to keep a legacy industry intact. Like if, you know, nobody's regulating to keep taxis alive, like, when Uber's around, exactly. Except for SF. But, like, but yeah, exactly. No, that's exactly, it keeps everybody innovating. That's awesome. So now another, like, kind of random question. Is Numerai built on Ethereum?
So Numerai is a new kind of hedge fund mm-hmm. where anyone can submit an artificial intelligence model. Mm-hmm. You know, you maybe explained this to your followers already.
I probably should have explained what Numerai is.
Like, they're trying to predict the stock market. And so the best algorithm is technically the meta model, which is every single model to predict the stock market. And they all, like, fill the knowledge gaps that the other ones don't have. And so it ends up being amazing. And what they announced recently, I think it was last year, I think I was at the conference, it was in San Francisco, it was pretty fun, is the Erasure protocol. And so it's a new way to bet on your beliefs and to make money from it. So for instance, if you're a hacker and you want to say to Apple, hey, I found a bug in the iPhone that can cost billions of dollars to the users, they can put it on Erasure, which is a new protocol. Apple can verify it, mm-hmm. and they can say, hey, no, this is bullshit. You didn't find a solution and not pay. Or they're like, oh, like, we saw the quick summary and it seems like you are right. So we would want to see more details, and they would pay the bounty. To see the more details.
Yeah.
And so this is the new product by Numerai, which is, yeah, a new way of sharing information online, like via an escrow. And I think there's, like, a complex recourse system where, like, you cannot really cheat on information. And there's also something called Erasure Bay, where you can actually ask, it's like the opposite, you can ask the question. You can be like, hey, I want to know all the companies that went to Y Combinator, for instance. Mm-hmm. And then you say, my bounty will be $2,000. And then someone on the internet will just provide you the list straight away.
Mm.
So yeah, I think this is the Erasure protocol. It was built by Numerai, and it's quite interesting.
And that's on Ethereum?
And that's on Ethereum. Okay. But Numerai, the hedge fund idea, I think, is not on Ethereum.
Okay. Yeah, the hedge fund idea is just people submitting meta machine learning models to predict the stock market, and then they get paid in Numerai.
Yeah.
And then you can transfer that into, like,
Ethereum. Oh, yeah. I think, like, the Numerai token is on Ethereum, if that's what you mean.
Okay. Yeah, I just, like, I just wanted to talk more about Numerai. Right, right.
Numerai is a fascinating company.
Yeah, it totally is. Okay, so, like, what... So, is Jay-Z Legion, he's making something on, like, UR Matrix? Is that on crypto, too?
So, yeah, Jay-Z is using crypto. So, Jay-Z built Matrix, which is a stock market for esports teams, mm-hmm. where, like, fans of esports, the video game competitions, can simply, like, buy some tokens. But to be honest, I don't know that much about the mm-hmm. product. I think it's pretty stealth for now.
Yeah.
But you should talk deeper. JC Legion is amazing. Okay. I really love him. He's so young and successful already. Mm-hmm. Like, this is crazy to see his story.
Yeah. So we'll build the quiet hype for that one.
Yeah.
Okay, so, like, if people just want to, like, start trading tokens, where do they start? Like, this is kind of, like, wrapping up. Like, how do we start, like, increasing the DeFi accelerationism?
So for now, I think the best way is still Coinbase, because Coinbase is very easy and you can get into Ethereum. But the most interesting step is that when you are on Coinbase and let's say you buy Ethereum, then the great way to exit Coinbase and this centralized system is to transfer that money to an Ethereum wallet.
Mm, okay.
And so there are multiples. There are MetaMask, there is Rainbow, there is, like, Trust Wallet. There's a ton of different wallets that you can check. And so I think if you Google, like, you know, Ethereum wallet, iPhone, or Ethereum wallet, Apple Store, or, you know, there are tons. Okay. I would recommend Trust Wallet. I would recommend MetaMask, which is very popular, but it's a little bit hard to use. Rainbow is a little bit easier to use. And so, yeah, that's what I would recommend. And when you are on those platforms, you can then use the DeFi ecosystem and you are free. And the money that you send from Coinbase really is yours. It's not stored anywhere. And that's amazing. And I recommend if you have more than like $1,000 to use a hardware wallet, because it secures your assets, not on a browser or a computer that can be hacked and seized, but on something that you can own. And it seems safer to me. So that's just my piece of advice. If you have over $1,000, probably buy a hardware wallet.
Does it make sense to have multiple wallets?
You can have multiple wallets. You can have one to do some small trades in DeFi and just like play and have fun.
One or for tokens.
You can have some reserve of like Bitcoin and Ethereum that is more long-term. And so you would use a hardware wallet. Mm-hmm. So yeah, there are some reasons to do that. Yeah.
Okay, cool. So then, you know, lastly, like Ethereum has been at all-time highs for the past like 3 weeks in a row, I think. It's just climbing a ton. Yeah. So do you think that, you know, should you be investing in Bitcoin or Ethereum? Like, which one's growing faster? I think Ethereum is kind of growing faster.
Yeah.
So that's really...
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of Ethereum. I think Bitcoin is amazing and it probably will rise in price. Like, no one has a crystal ball, but it seems like Bitcoin is going to rise because... Mm-hmm. It's more and more accepted as the new standard for a store of value. Mm-hmm. But Ethereum potential is so much bigger. Every single application is like any social media that I'm building or a financial app. Like, it's the next world financial infrastructure. Mm-hmm. And that's fascinating to me. And it's not even the next one. It is currently undergoing. DeFi has $20 billion of assets today.
Yeah.
But even crazier, there has been $2 trillion transacted on the Ethereum blockchains since 2015.
Wow.
And so seeing the Ethereum price today, to me, is super undervalued. Like, that's not investment advice, of course, but it seems to me that the value of Ethereum deserves to be much higher simply because of the fundamentals being that people are transacting value today, whether it's US dollar or whether it's using DeFi. There are so many use cases for Ethereum, and so I'm really excited. I cannot know whether the price is going to go up or not, but I really wish, and like, I'm a huge fan of Ethereum, and I think it's good for the world if we have a financial infrastructure that is neutral, mm-hmm. and that everyone trusts, that is neutral and does not belong to someone, but belongs a little bit to everyone. For I think sure. This is great.
For sure. So is there anything else that you expected me to ask you? Anything else? Any closing thoughts? Or check out his ICO, check out Try Showtime,
yes.
If you're a creator, for sure. Definitely, I'll get on that too.
Cool.
Anyways, man, thanks for coming on. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Make sure to subscribe and
yes.
go check out his Twitter, and I'll see you guys later.
Bye. Peace. See ya.
See ya.
Thank you so much.
Awesome. Yeah, that was good.
Yo, what's up, guys? Thank you for listening. I really appreciate it. Don't forget to subscribe and check me out on Twitter. Check out Alex on Twitter. And I'm really excited to bring you guys more hard tech futurism podcasts. So talk to you guys soon. See ya. Peace.